Okay, welcome to hour number two of a triple header. I think they used to actually play, baseball double headers. And I think they actually played a few triple headers. In case you don't know, that's three games in a row. But they played, there were double headers, especially on Sunday. I just remembered that. Well, all right. Mitchell Henderson is back tonight. I just remembered Mitch, too. I'm glad I did. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome back. How are you?
Good to be here. I'm doing well.
Yeah, and the title of Mitch's dissertation tonight is Taco and the Chinese Final Threats. Taco. Creep. Well, the Commander-in-Chief will be here tomorrow. Commander-in-Chief Netanyahu, to give the taco his marching orders. And then the Commander-in-Chief returns home to the USS Israel on Friday morning. I was assured about that by the Jerusalem Press. I think that's what it was. Or the Israeli Press. So anyway, whatever. All right. Have at it. Are we at war yet?
Well,
yes or no?
Yes. Listen, we've been at war since June 22nd.
22nd.
We're in a revolution right now, too. Okay, what's hard to do is it's hard to see past the massive amount of disinformation that's out there now. But listen, this is a sign of war, because back in the old days, on the Cold War fronts and stuff, we listened for enemy chatter to determine whether they were getting ready for an attack or something. Well, there's propaganda chatter, too, that precedes a war. We have been inundated by our own media and even social media. We have been with propaganda, with false narratives, with just out-and-out lies, okay? They're trying to create a narrative where somehow we're going to be okay with going into this war, okay? But let me tell you what Taco has to do with this, okay? So Taco is an acronym created by the Financial Times about a year ago, when Trump was putting all his tariffs on. He said, "I'm going to put a big tariff on you," and he backs off and stuff. And it means Trump always chickens out. Okay. Later on, this began being used for foreign policy. Right now, all over the world, okay, this is an acronym used to talk about Trump. If you look in the foreign press, you can see this is what they think. You know, we get the impression, our news gives us the impression that people are afraid of Trump. He's so unpredictable. No, people, that's not true. People all over the world are calling him Taco, and Taco means Trump always chickens out. Even in Latin America, they use the term Taco because they look at Trump says, "Oh, well, if Maduro doesn't step down, we're going to fire all these missiles in to launch an attack on Venezuela." Okay, but did he do that? No, he just went and grabbed the president. Okay, then he calls this an outstanding success. This was the thing that was most likely to succeed with the least damage to us. So he's looking at publicity and all this. Because, see, right after that, after he makes this big thing, "Oh, people should be afraid of me because see what I did in Venezuela," he tells the people in Iran, "Oh, go out and overthrow your government. We got your back. If the Ayatollahs, if the regime attacks you in the street, we will attack the regime." Then he did nothing as 30,000 people lost their lives. So he's a taco. He always chickens out. He does not do. He went to NATO to talk about Greenland. He was going to invade and take Greenland. But then what does he do? "Oh, I had a nice talk with them, and they're giving me everything I want." In other words, they'll let us build more military bases in Greenland.
Yeah.
People, we already could build all the military bases we wanted in Greenland. Yeah. We already had that agreement.
He's an incredible phony. Incredible.
Yes, yes. Just lie, lie, lie. Okay, so there's a few places, they don't say taco. In Russia, they call it, they say that he gives the final, the Chinese final threat. That's a Russian meme. And they use that on Trump now. And where that comes from is like in 2022, when Nancy Pelosi went to Taipei and China issued a final threat, don't go there, or it could be war, China called this a final threat. Okay, in the Russian press, this was called the 850th Chinese final threat since 1950. Okay, they've been counting. So, see, China doesn't, they don't follow through. They make a big deal of the threat, and then they don't do anything. Well, this is what our Russian press now talks about Trump. That he issues quote Chinese final threats, which means empty threats. Okay. Now in China they have their own word for that. They just call him a paper tiger. Let me explain that a little bit. I'm a little bit familiar with that. So back in the ancient times, when China's troops were fighting other troops, they'd put up these big banners of a fierce tiger. That the troops would carry aloft to scare the enemy. You could see during the Korean War, Americans would paint the front of their tanks like tigers. Well, during World War II, the Chinese Air Force, the Free Air Force, with Claire Chennault and the Flying Tigers, they painted their aircraft like tigers. And it's all the same thing, because in their culture, this would scare somebody, but it's paper. It's not real. It's not, that force is not real and stuff. So the Chinese call Trump a paper tiger. Okay, they don't believe him. Okay, Iran is not shaking in its boots. Iran is pretty sure that Trump is a blowhard and a loudmouth, and that he won't do anything because
unless
it'll cost him way much. It'll cost him a lot.
If Netanyahu tells him, he'll do it. That's what he's coming over here tomorrow for.
Yeah. So how this leads into more active war in World War III is that here's the thing. If Trump does not attack Iran, his presidency is over. It's over. In March of 25, Biden did not support Netanyahu, Israel, in the Security Council. They voted against Israel, and that was the end of the Biden presidency. Okay,
right.
So this if Trump does not attack, it's in. Just last week, Netanyahu was publicly saying, well, Biden got a bunch of IDF soldiers killed because he didn't give us ammunition when we asked for it. This is a betrayal by America. Okay, so this was a message to Trump. Okay. Then remember last time I talked about the head of the IDF coming over talking to Dan Kane, our chief of staff, saying, hey, here's a target you need to hit. This was a directive from Israel. You have to attack. Okay. So now Netanyahu's going to come and tell Trump in person he has to attack. He has to attack or his presidency is over. Now, how does Israel see this? Okay, if you dig through their opinion pieces, if you dig through Zionist literature, it's actually quite simple. Remember, I've always said that it's two edges of the same coin, Marxism or Zionism. So we have a thing in the United States where the Republicans are, you have the Republicans split into the Zionist camp and the anti-Zionist camp. Then the Democrats are seen as anti-Zionists, right? But here's the thing. When you look at the Republicans, you have the Christian Zionists who, for religious reasons, support Israel, because they can't go to heaven if they don't support Israel. Okay? Then you have the other half of the Christians in the Republican Party who are anti-Zionists, who realize that war the right, you're sort of evenly split in that some people are going to, it doesn't matter who's in charge of America, those people will be pro-Israel no matter what, no matter who's in charge. But you look at the other half of the Republicans, and they're just anti-Israel. Okay, so, but this is for religious reasons. This is hard to crack. This is not for rational reasons. Oh, it is rational, but it's really a reason of faith. Okay, so when you look at the Democrats, they're malleable. Okay, they're pliable. In other words, you can make them be against anything. So who can Israel influence? Who can Israel change minds of? They can change minds of the Democrats. Okay, so you will see a revolution. You will see more and more violence on the streets until Trump is brought down. A Democrat who's pro-Israel will come in. Israel will probably still have to do some kind of a false flag attack in order to get the Democrats to come on their side. But see, a false flag attack is not going to change the minds of the half of Republicans that are anti-Israel. That will not change their minds. They will see it as an attack by Israel. So they're not going to be fooled. So who can the Zionists play with? Who is putty in their hands? The Democrats are, not the Republicans. Okay, not only that, but Trump has been tackled here at home. Okay, he has not given us what he promised to give us. He's given us nothing he promised. Okay, my state is about to ban assault weapons. Illinois and Washington State had assault weapons bans. May I ask you, as a Supreme Court, this is a fundamental right of the people. And the Supreme Court's done nothing to kibosh that. So what is Trump doing for the civil rights that the American people hold dear? What is he doing for us, actually? What are he protecting? What things that are important to us, the American people, what things that are important to the people who voted for him, is he just neglecting? Okay. Well, all of them. In other words, he backs out. Look at Minneapolis. This was a test. Either Tampon Tim was going to blink or Trump was going to blink. Who blinked? Right. Trump blinked. Okay. Now there's blood in the water. Now they know they can bully Trump. Now they know they could bully him out of the presidency if they have to.
You know, it's true. It's Mitchell, hold on.
Yes.
You're right, mm-hmm. And it's true, and it needs to be noted and underscored. Trump has blinked and blinked again. He's weak. He's a blowhard, and you got it. You're correct.
Yes. And this is what will run us into a war. Now, when Trump goes to this war in the Middle East, okay, this war, the Iran says it's going to be regional, okay. Well, China has red lines. Russia has red lines. I mean, we keep pushing Russia's red lines. We've done it by this tranny gay Zionist clown that runs Ukraine, Zelensky. He can tell Trump what to do. Trump has made a few points of trying to look tough to Zelensky, but ultimately Trump is at Zelensky's mercy. Okay. Trump always backs down from Zelensky. Okay. Otherwise this thing would have been solved. If Trump had some cojones, if he had some moral strength, this thing could have been over a year ago, but it's not because Trump doesn't do what he says. He asked us to vote for him, said we won't give any more money to Ukraine. He became president and kept the spigot open. He did not cut the money to Ukraine. To this day, he is paying the salaries of Ukrainian government workers.
Oh, yes.
He's
oh, yeah,
the
absolutely.
The salaries of the soldiers.
It's just gone sub rosa. It's all hidden. It's underground.
Yeah.
It's all still
right.
Flowing. Putin knows this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they all know it. They all know it. But nothing, I cannot even believe the apparent unless it's all an act, restraint of Putin. I just don't get it. Unless he's being told by the Jewish oligarchs that really run a great deal of Russia to lay low and not provoke anything. I don't know why, but something's up, and Putin is more than a gentleman about all this crap. He keeps turning the other cheek. He's running out of cheeks.
Well, here's the thing. I've seen his rhetoric on Iran change drastically. Okay, I think if the United States gets into a war in Iran and the Middle East,
yeah.
I think it's a trap. This will destroy America. This will be our end.
Okay. No, not it's okay.
We will
Mitchell
be
is
sacrificing our nation, our freedoms for Israel.
You are now for you, those of you new. Mitchell's not talking about us. He's talking about the evil that runs this country. That's what he's talking about. It will be crushed. Yes, but unfortunately, a lot of boys and girls are going to die for that crushing. You wait. That's what's happening.
Oh yeah,
our boys and girls. Yeah.
So our Russia's red lines are not likely to be crossed anytime soon. But I'm talking about nuclear red lines. But China's nuclear red lines are a lot different. Okay, so let me give you a picture of these. So China's got 1 billion people, and they got to eat. Okay, because if the people don't eat, they ain't gonna work. They ain't gonna, you know. In other words, China is not worried about us overthrowing their regime. They're worried about us killing all their people. I mean, the Chinese Communist Party is the leader of the Chinese people based on the fact that they feed them and bring them wealth and comfort. Okay, they have produced for them big time. Chinese live good lives. Now, listen, I was there. I was working in China in 1997, and I could see at that time that the Chinese people were starting to enjoy the fruits of the mixed economy and stuff, of what the Communist Party was leading them to: more personal wealth, more time, more time to enjoy their life, enjoy their family, have things, have comfort and stuff. The Chinese people like these things. This to them is the mandate of heaven. This is what the government has given them, and the government has produced for them, so the government has the mandate of heaven. So what we are threatening China with, we are threatening the death of their people. Okay? So this is not just us threatening their regime. We are threatening the lives of their people, because they need to keep the spigot flowing, to keep the food flowing, or there'll be massive famines. They've had these famines before, repeatedly. They don't want them again. Okay? This is something the Communist Party has promised them. You will eat. You will have a warm place to sleep, blah, 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 blah. You know, we will give you these needs. This is what it was supposed to all be about. And by trying to cut off the South China Sea, that's cutting out, they get 57 million tons of food, seafood, that they consume in China every year. They cannot let us cut that off, okay? They cannot let us cut off. They can stand a 10% cut in fuel. They cannot stand a 30% cut in fuel. That will kill their people. That will do grave harm to their economy. And they have made it very clear that if we do that to them, that's cause for nuclear war. Okay, so I think the first country that you'll see getting involved in the Iranian war will be China. Okay, and then I think Russia and China are kind of thinking like, maybe we'll just let them do this, because you know, if we want to solve all of our problems, let's just let America commit suicide. I think that's why the change in tone. They can see what this is going to lead to, okay? And I think they're like this. So in the same strain of thinking, okay, I want to point out some things. It's like a lot of people think, well, how long will it take to kill 90% of the people on Earth? Even without a nuclear war, how long would it take? Well, we'd have to cut off communications and transportation for 1 year, and power. Basically, if we cut off energy for a year, 90% of the people would be dead. This is also from the cold and winter, blah, 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 if there's no fuel and whatnot. Because this will definitely be a fuel war, okay, that we're going into. The United States wants to control all the energy transportation routes in the world. We want to control all the oil being sold in the world, okay? And the rest of the world does not want that. They don't want us in charge of it. They can just look at America. They can look at our local news, and they can say, we don't want what America has to offer, who could look at us and want to be like us, They don't.
Isn't that a terrible thing even to hear Mitchell say? Who can look at us and would want to be this way? And he's right. What a shame. Terrible. Oh.
So if you threw the country, the civilization, the economy, the society into disarray in 1900, it would take 5 years for 90% of the people to die. Okay, this is in 1900. But in 1900, most people lived rural. They lived on farms. They could at least feed themselves. Okay, now there's not very many people who are rural. Most people live in urban areas. And so you can look at from the time of utter chaos breaking out, you can look at 90% of the people being dead in 1 year. So I'm thinking there's a good chance we could be there sometime by August or September, okay? I mean, where everything has just fallen apart, okay? Because there is big connections now, but those will start fracturing with this war, okay? Because, who can give up? China's fighting for its life. Russia's fighting for its life.
We can't have
Iran is
US
fighting for its
operate.
Life. No. What are we fighting for? We're fighting for wealth and power of a small group of people who rule the country.
Right.
So how are you going to fight? If you back something into the corner, it's going to fight very viciously. We've backed Iran into the corner. So I imagine there'll be a pretty vicious fight. See, we lied to ourselves. We said, we destroyed all the anti-aircraft and all their missile abilities last year. Well, if we did that, why are we saying that they have to stop their ballistic missile program? If we already destroyed it, why is that a bone of contention? If we already destroyed their nuclear program, why are we talking about them shutting down their nuclear program? Why are we looking for an agreement for something that we say they don't have anymore? So they lie to us on one hand, and then they expect us to believe that, we're going to war because Iran is starting to develop the nuclear program again. U.S. intelligence says they're not. British intelligence says they're not. French intelligence says they're not. The International Atomic Energy Agency says they're not. But the Mossad says, sure, they're rebuilding it. And, of course, they're the final word. They're the word that we listen to, okay? I mean, just look at, there's so many things that you can see this narrative running throughout our society. You see the Epstein files, they finally released 3 million pages. Notice that they do not redact the names of the victims. They did that on purpose to embarrass them.
The second thing they did,
I read it with my own eyes, where somebody sends a note to Epstein saying, I got to show you this torture video and stuff,
There's a lot of
Epstein
stuff
says,
there.
Oh, I'd That's like to see this and stuff.
Really?
And who did they redact? They redact the name of the person that sent that to Epstein. Why? that they'll put the victim's name out there? This is Israel written all over it. Okay?
No question. None.
Yeah.
Nope, none. It's all pathetic beyond measure. Evil. Awful. And now Netanyahu is going to
arrive
again.
They have.
It's really unbridled.
They got Trump to say, the Epstein Files is a hoax, a Democratic hoax. They got Pam Bondi to say, there's nothing there. They got Cash Patel and Dan Bongino to say, I read it. There's nothing in there of importance. Those guys just lost all credibility and stuff. So we can see the machinations, but you can also see that certain things are not backing down. There will continue to be riots and protests against ICE. It's now we have Olympic champions saying, we don't support ICE. We're ashamed to be Americans. We're ashamed to be Americans because we won't let these criminal people come and live in our country and commit crimes and stuff. That's what makes us un-American, I don't know. But see, there's no logic. And that's my point about, right. Marxism and Zionism are two sides of the same coin. If the Republican Zionists will not do the work that is expected of them, the Marxists will just let the Marxists take over. Because what will the Marxists do? The Marxists just have to start a meme like, defund ICE, defund the police. There's no logic, there's no reason. People will just start repeating that and going out on the street. And it becomes a cool meme. This is cool. I'm a cool human being because I don't support ICE, I mean, it's
that's about it's, the depth it's, of it, Mitch. You got it.
Stupidity is what it is, yes.
Yeah.
So the Democrats, listen, when I say Democrats, what I mean is exactly what they are. They are godless, sodomite Marxists, period. They may not know anything about Marx, but they're following the Marx playbook. Okay?
They couldn't tell you two sentences about Marx.
Yeah. I have relatives that are very well educated, like Oxford and Yale, Harvard and stuff. And so yeah. They ask me, what is Marxism? So I write them this long letter, and I don't use any of my opinion to describe Marxism. I just describe what Lenin said, and I put Lenin's name, Marx's name, Hess's name, the names of the people who say all this stuff. And the response to me, their response to me, these very educated people, is they say, what are your sources? Well, I gave them my sources for every assertion that I made. And it was a Marxist person making that assertion. So, see, they're blind. They're just, it's like...
Well, they're blind by choice. They're very comfortable in their little black world of blind vision.
They believe
they
what
see
they believe
nothing.
Because they want
they hear
to believe
nothing.
It. And right. They think that it gives them... It gives them, social credit.
Standing. Some status.
Social
some
standing to say these things. Right, like when Billie Eilish says, nobody is illegal on stolen land. You know what land is stolen?
That's a pinhead. That's a moron talking. Idiocy.
She has immediately the tribe in Los Angeles said, what about your house? Are you going to talk to us about your $5 million house? It's on our land, but of course she has no comments to make to them because
none.
Somebody just told her to say this at the publicist.
I don't know anything about her except her name. That's all
there.
I know.
Well, I heard her name. She's a very unimpressive person. She dresses ridiculous, like she's a baseball player or something. I don't know. I don't know where her thing is. We've developed through the entertainment industry this worship of idols. Like somehow it matters what Taylor Swift has to say.
Yeah.
I mean, what are her songs even about? Is this deep philosophical stuff? versus...
No, there's no such thing.
Catchy tunes, you know. There's no substance.
Catchy tunes and meaningless
lyrics.
Well, I wouldn't even call them lyrics. Whatever. Words. This is stupid.
It's
a tragic commentary on what's left of our young people and their intellectual potential.
It's all according to, see, these people have status, and so we want to emulate them. And people talk
role
about
models.
I see people writing to these people as if they're like, oh, I'm like a friend of yours and stuff. You know, you and me know each other or something. These people wouldn't give you the time of day, okay? They have millions of people after them. They want nothing to do with you, okay? They do not think that you are on the same level as them, and they do not think that you are anything like them. They're special, and you're not, you know?
Sure.
So, but they think everybody wants to emulate that. I mean... it's just total lack of thought, of logic, of common sense. It's just none of it's there. So these are the people that can be manipulated. So what my warning to people is, if you're a straight white male, you better start thinking now about what you're doing, because you are slated for extermination. They will come to kill you. They'll come and take all your stuff. They'll take you away. Eventually, they'll just kill you. This is what they're going to do. Even if you're a fellow traveler of theirs out protesting ICE today, if you're a white male and you're protesting ICE today, tomorrow you'll be in the camp just like anybody else. Actually, they'll probably ask those people to turn themselves in, and they will. Okay. So that's
Trump
not a good
is putting
survival
together,
strategy.
He's overseeing a string of warehouses apparently all over the country, and they're getting him ready with showers, big shower rooms, and whatever. They're gonna start stocking them. I don't know with who. It won't be with illegals. I don't think.
No. So you have to start thinking about your tactics now. Okay. Like something. They already got pegged. If you've been on social media, if you said anything, even in emails or whatever on the phone, they got you pegged. They know who you are. But they're always going to go for the most active agitators first. So one of the first things you can do is get off social media, you know. What your opinions are, what your opinions
terminal
are.
Addiction.
They don't matter. They don't matter. You're not going to change anybody's mind. If they let you speak, they're just letting you speak. You're not having an effect on anybody. You're not proselytizing, okay? So now is the time to start digging in, okay? Take cover. This is simple military tactics. Okay,
well,
if you can be seen, you can be hit.
Yes, yes. What about the midterms at this point? I don't see Trump maintaining any kind of an advantage anywhere. I think the midterms are going to be a disaster.
I believe the midterms will be a disaster. I believe that white people and Republicans and conservatives will experience one of the greatest betrayals in history, because Trump will get you to go out there and do what you do, and then he'll let you get killed. Just like on January 6th, okay? These people go out and stuff. And,
what a horrible thing.
And where was he for them? Those people spent 4 years in prison, felony charges. 3,000 people. If you used your credit card in Washington, D.C. that day, the FBI came to knock on your door and throw you in jail. The
Beyond
Democrats
reasonable
will do
doubt,
anything necessary to hunt you down and persecute you. They will. The motto of the Democrats is by any means necessary, and that's a Marxist thing. Marx
that's
said
true.
The ends justify the means. They will do anything for power.
Same thing that Mark said.
Republicans will not stick their neck out ever for power.
Right.
They will always abandon the people that support them.
You watch what happens.
They will let you come out in the open, then they'll let the opposition crush you like a bug. I mean, we've had people protesting against ICE for a year now. And Pam Bondi, oh, yeah, we're going to throw you in jail. We didn't throw anybody in jail. Nobody is being punished for doing what they did. I mean, look at the guy, that guy who got shot up there, the Putty guy, Alex Putty.
Putty.
He's on film kicking a taillight on a car. Government property. This is
violently.
A felony.
Yeah.
This is a felony. They didn't even arrest him. Okay? I mean, this is Republicans. We have no balls. We have no courage. We will not stand strong. We won't do it. We just won't do it. Okay? Our leaders are weak. Okay? They won't do what's necessary to win.
It's
the Democrats... Maybe idiots, but they will do whatever it takes to win.
Trump has tacoed out on virtually everything. He's been bragging about. If he really was going to get serious about Greenland, he would have just moved in and taken it. I mean, what are you taking? Uncountable billions, quadrillions of tons of ice? All right, there's rare earths in there. I get it. I know. But 25% of the people who live there want to join the U.S. 25%.
There's only 56,000 people there.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's the point.
In the whole country, 56,000 people.
That's
okay.
Right.
And the biggest military base in Greenland is an American military base.
Petufik.
What is his deal? You know, he thinks he's going to just... brag and
he shoots
and
his mouth
people.
Off and does nothing.
He's not scaring anybody. Everybody knows that he's a taco. Wow. He's a paper tiger. He's a Chinese final threat. In other words, he's nothing but a big mouth. And the whole world knows it. Where Americans are in trouble at is many Americans believe that he's got some strength. He has no strength. He is a paper tiger.
No.
He will never have your back. He's not going
to.
What has he done for us in a year of presidency?
Nothing.
Okay? Nothing. It's a show. He's a showman. Everything is a show. Like remember months ago I said, well, immigration, ICE is going around, and they're doing these outrageous arrests in areas where they can get a lot of press to give the appearance that immigration is being enforced to give the appearance of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so and this
American
sort of came
people.
Out in Minneapolis because Tom Herman said, "Okay, well, listen, just give us the people in jail, and you know we'll move these people out of here." Okay, so all that was for show. Okay, so he went and had a heart-to-heart with him and said, "Look, you complain about non-felon-type illegal aliens being picked up by immigration." He says, you know, when you let that guy out of jail, that felon out of jail, and don't give him to us, he's going to go to a place with a lot of other illegal aliens. And when immigration shows up there, they can't just take the one guy. If they see anybody there who is an illegal alien, they have to take him into custody. There's a federal law called misprison of a felony. If you know a felony is happening, or somebody is a felon, you have to pick them up, or you are guilty of a felon. So, you know, it's like there's people who know how the law works, okay? But see, the people don't know how it works. You know, I mean, they don't do it. It's like I saw in the news they had a thing saying, well, you know. A man is illegally making these ballistic missiles illegally. Listen, there's a ballistic missile treaty that is completely voluntary, has no teeth, there's no criminal penalties, It's just if you're a signatory nation, you're agreeing to limit your ballistic missile technology and not proliferate it to other countries. But not all countries have signed on to that. And it is not like international law. It's just a voluntary treaty, okay, which if you violate it, there's no penalties. But when you hear the people talk on TV, they're acting as if this is like a Geneva Convention or something, okay? I mean, they lie to us. They lie to us because we don't know. We don't understand how things work and stuff. They lie to us because look at see the manipulation everywhere. For example, I mean, this seems so unrelated, but, you know, I spent decades in Latin America, and I lived in Colombia when there were kidnappings like crazy. There's a great book by Gabriel Marquez Garcia, who's a famous writer in Colombia, called News of the Kidnapping. And he really breaks down how the kidnappings work. Okay, one thing that's outstanding about the method that kidnappers use in Latin America is if you pay the ransom, you're not getting your loved one back. You're not getting them back. You can pay, but you're not going to get your loved one back. They're going to be killed. Okay, they may keep them alive long enough for some proof of life exercise, okay, but most of the time they just bully you. They say, you pay this money or they're dead, and there's no discussion. Okay, this is the method of kidnapping in Latin America. Have you noticed that we've had this Nancy Guthrie kidnapping all over the news for days? Nobody has mentioned Latin American kidnappers and all this thing, yet her kidnapping is a typical Latin American kidnapping. This is what Colombian and Mexican cartels do all the time. Nobody's mentioned that because, see, they don't want to create a narrative that these people coming from Colombia and Mexico are bad people. Okay? Those are good people. They're better than American people. So we can't talk about a typical Latin American kidnapping. We can't talk about that. But when I see it, I sat there in Colombia listening to the news every day, and this looks like a typical Colombian kidnapping to me. Typical. They're saying, oh, there's something strange about this kidnapping. It's not strange if you can speak freely without fear of insulting illegal aliens. Okay? So the narrative is so important. That narrative is even important to Fox News. Okay? So.
Good catch. Good point. Yeah.
So
no,
you can
I
see,
haven't followed that story at all. Anything that takes up so much headline space, you really should notice what they're doing to you. It's just all misdirection.
Oh yeah.
Never mind that the Israelis are killing Palestinian children every day. Never mind that.
I mean, listen, I would think nothing of that story had I not lived in the Colombia during the time
you picked it up. You're probably 100% correct on that. I wouldn't be surprised.
So I noticed something because I lived in the land of kidnappings. When I was there, the cartels actually got together and created an organization called MAS, which means Muerte a los Secuestradores, death to the kidnappers, where they had a war with the kidnappers going on. So I know all about Colombian kidnappings, okay? I'm very familiar with it, okay? But, you know, the whole thing is everybody's lying to you about everything, okay? Everybody takes it for granted you're stupid and you can't figure anything out, okay? And if you do figure something out, nobody's going to listen to you about anything, okay? So, you know, we're coming down to where we may be in active combat any day now, okay, and things will spiral out of control. I don't think things are going to spiral out of control as fast as they could, but it's going to be faster than normal, okay?
Right.
We could be months away from a global collapse, okay? So, I mean, it's a very dangerous, dangerous time. So, but we're not there yet. There's still an opportunity to go out and get the things that you need. You need to seriously start thinking about what you're going to do and stuff. So, go to Amazon and get my book, The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization. Because that's what's happening. That's what's happening now. Okay? And I think I've gone over this before, but even World War II, from the time England declared war to the time they had their first battle with the Germans was 9 months. Then the next battle with the Germans was 4 years after that.
Huh.
this is modern times. I think the war is going to progress much faster and much more violently in these days.
There will come a time very soon when you will not be able to prepare. I don't mean to sound dumb, negative, close-minded. There will come a time you will not be able to afford to prepare.
Oh, and I want you to remember 2020. Remember, all of a sudden, by the time you realize that they declared a pandemic, already you couldn't buy toilet paper, you know? And I really love that thing because when you think about it, it's a respiratory disease, not a gastrointestinal disease, yet toilet paper disappeared. So
that was number one.
Anything can happen, you know? You couldn't buy alcohol, remember? You couldn't buy alcohol to clean your hands. Just everything. You see, that wasn't even anything real. And look at all the supply chain failures that they had there. Look at all the rationing. They did rationing during that time and stuff.
Yep.
So, my mom lived through World War II. My dad was in it. He was overseas. But my mom was here in the States, and she still has the rations. I still have the ration stamps for sugar and gasoline and stuff. You just couldn't go buy what you wanted. You had to have a stamp because it was rationed for each person. Okay, what's going to happen with that? Are you ready to depend on the government for your survival?
For anything.
And yes. I think they've kind of proven that you cannot depend on them for anything.
It's all so dark, and I'm very grateful for all of you for hanging in there and listening and staying informed. If you don't learn here, I don't know where you're going to learn as regularly as we try to present the larger images of reality, and it's up to you to incorporate them however you want. If you want to reject them, fine. That's fine. As long as you've considered them, make your choice. But keep your mind open, because what's happening around you is deadly serious. It may not look it, but it is. Not good.
And one of the things that I'm trying to provide for people is I'm looking at the way the other people would think, because it takes two to tango. And if we just ignore what the other people are thinking, how are we going to know how they're going to react to us if we don't know how they think? If we don't know what's important to them, how do we know how they're going to respond to what we do? Okay, we're just out in the world bullying everybody, pushing everybody around. Okay? How do they think about that? The press never tells you what they think about that.
We're going to get.
But if there's going to be a fight, what they think about it matters very much if it's going to be a fight. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
It's going to be you'll probably be able to hear cheering all around the world when we get our just rewards. And I don't mean the people, the good people. And there are a lot of very good people in this country. But it's the so-called governmental leadership that is not in there by our choice. No, it's fraud. Most elections of any consequence are rigged, fixed. They're fraud. It's just not a good system anymore. I don't know what would be, frankly. I'd rather see a lottery for people having to serve in the Senate and the House. One term each. Whatever.
Well listen, I just have to bring up what's happening in Maryland. Because Maryland has one congressional district that's Republican. One. And so the Maryland government is trying to redistrict that so that they can have all Democrat districts. So in New Mexico, they did that. We had a rural district that was always Republican, so we had one Republican representative in Congress. But what they did is the Democrats in the state, they changed it, and they took a huge chunk of the big city and included that in the rural district, such that the people in the city had more votes than the people in the countryside. And now New Mexico's a pure Democrat. All our congressmen, senators are all Democrat, and it will never be Republican again, ever. Okay, and you see, the thing about democracy, the Democrats' version of democracy, is only Democrat nation whatsoever. It can only be Democrats because they're Democratic and everybody else is anti-Democratic. I mean, it's such bull that people actually believe. I mean, I heard the newscaster say, well, how is that Democratic if you make the whole state just Democrats? You know, and you cut out the representative for those people. Now, in New Mexico, 45% of the people are Republican, but they have no representation to the federal government whatsoever because they changed the districts so that all the big city is where the Marxists are. So what they do is they make sure that there's a big city or a part of a big city in each congressional district so that the big cities rule the state and represent the state.
Absolutely right. Okay, Mitch, thank you. Let's wrap it up for this time. And I wonder if we'll be at war next week. Could be easily if the Commander-in-Chief will be here Wednesday to instruct Sergeant Trump, and then we'll see after that.
Well, if Trump doesn't go to war pretty soon, he may be the first president of the United States to be overthrown by a popular uprising. And I kid you not about this. It could very well happen.
I get it.
We're pretty close to being able to do that right now.
He's really spent all of his currency, his lying currency. He doesn't have much left. Wow.
Yep.
Thank you, my friend. Be safe, Mitch. And I hope you get over that whatever you got. It sounds nasty.
You too.
Good job. All right. Mitchell Henderson. And we'll be right back. Hang on.